world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the Evopocalypse when the game launches this June on BackerKit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
Hello there, my friends. It seems that you have found the Oaths and Empires public feed. Thank you so much for giving us your time and listening to this show. We have had an incredible time making it, and we hope that you have an incredible time listening to it. And if you do, the best way to support the show is by joining the Oaths and Empires Patreon. By taking the oath, you don't just get to help us keep Graveview safe, but you also unlock a horde of exclusive rewards. Depending on your tier, you'll get early access to every episode completely ad-free, sometimes months ahead of the public feed. If you want to dive deeper into the lore, you can unlock our exclusive aftershow, Lifting the Veil, along with bonus episodes and Q&As. We even offer free digital downloads of our official lore PDFs and stat blocks so that you can bring the Isle of Veil to life in your own tabletop games. And, just in case you're lacking a soundtrack for that, we even have official Oaths and Empires music, Sounds of the Veil, available to purchase right now through our Patreon. So, if you can, click the Patreon link in the show notes and go and explore all that Oaths and Empires has to offer and join the community today. But that's enough out of me. Let's get back into the story. Emerge through a thicket of trees with a voice that is not your own. Seeing through eyes that are not yours. Clawing at the dirt with not hands but claws. And as you not search but hunt, you see, stood on a wall, two flickering lights, wavering, strange sources of hope, food. And as you throw yourself forward, faster and faster towards these lights, and you claw your way up that wooden hall wall, you arrive at the source of those two lights. Strange and twisted, you cannot help but sink your teeth into it. And as you do, and you taste the strange ichor that seeps from that light, you hear a noise, a sound that reminds you that you were not always this strange monster. So you hear the sound of a man scream.
You remember, you were once human. We find ourselves in the town of Greyview. Greyview is centered around a gigantic stone bridge, some 300-400 feet across, built and spanning a gigantic roaring river. Buildings, streets crammed atop it, far more than should seem possible. On one side, you see this huge roaring river, though you could be forgiven if you thought it was more of a lake, given its size. And on the other side, a sheer drop, a waterfall. The spray of water would look beautiful in the sunlight, if there was any. But in Greyview, it is almost always entirely grey and rainy. And as the rain beats down on the top of these wooden-roofed houses, you can see an array of different styles. But we do not focus on the houses on the bridge itself, but instead we fly just north, above these huge stone gates, which are open, that lead through into a smaller area, very kindly referred to as the slums. An area of wooden houses that have been built with a mixture of craftsmanlike expertise, and lacking much direction and order, but they are homes nonetheless. Warm hearths support families as they go about their days. You see an array of different characters moving around and gathering things, greeting people. There is a main causeway which leads to yet more wooden gates, which are currently open. And these wooden gates are connected to large wooden walls. And these large wooden walls are designed to keep out the creatures of the forest which lie to the north. In fact, Greyview itself is the only place to pass the Ash Creek. And so this place is incredibly important. And as we move down into the slums, we find one window open. Just a crack. We watch as a moth flutters in through that little crack and lands on a desk. Tom McKay, would you like to describe for us the individual sat at that desk?
We find a man called Silas the Healer. And he is a man in his early 30s, we would say. And just approaching middle age, who has a very considered and thoughtful, ostensibly centered demeanor, who is hard at work. He has a wooden medicinal box on his desk. He has a pile of notes. He's at his work. He's incredibly focused. And outwardly, he appears to be a man who is on top of things, in control, thoughtful, introspective, calm, and poised. He has a kind of gentle demeanor, and it appears to be a place of calm. Even though he's not speaking to anyone or interacting with anyone at the moment, there is a kind of kindness and transparency, I suppose, to him.
Perhaps extends that little hand and allows the moth to catch a ride back outside.
Yeah.
Calmly and gently. And I think as we see this, we see that Solas is very careful and considered with his hands, very precise. There's no wasted movement. Mm-hmm. And as you're there rearranging pieces and perhaps sorting notes on your desk, I think there are a few notes that have been defaced with a small drawing, perhaps a word that one of your young ones might have thought was rude, and so they tried to write it.
Yeah, this is his space. So the space we find him in is his space, which occasionally gets invaded by two little visitors, his two young twins. and two girls, Juno and Ren, who are his world, are allowed in this room on occasion. Juno particularly, who is the livelier of the two, runs free, and they are the only two people that would be allowed to do that in this room. The rest of the household is not the same. It's only so quiet today because they are out with their surrogate grandma, shall we say, Astrid, who is the anchor, really, of this household.
I think we would know Astrid to be something of a... something of an outsider in much of Greyview, and she is someone who has cared fiercely for this household. Mm-hmm. And I think you can tell with the love and the amount of care taken in the rest of the house. So as you sort these things out, I think your mind probably does wander to the twins just for a brief moment. You know that you have to do some rounds today. Mm-hmm. There are a few people that have requested visitations, perhaps those that are a bit too sick to come and find you and seek you out personally. Mm-hmm. You have probably had to in recent times ask people to stop arriving sort of unannounced at the house as they are wont to do.
But that's something I think I find incredibly difficult. As much as I try, I'm known to be a man who will probably say yes if you push hard enough.
And the town definitely knows that. Yeah. Yeah, like they definitely are aware of that fact.
And this is not an area, you know, this is an area where I've lived almost my entire life. It's not an area of plenty. Most of the families in where I live are experiencing some form of hardship. And my family too. It's not, you know, we don't have a huge amount. But what he does have is the respect of the people around him. And he would find it ultimately hard to say no. And people know that. And that's why they push their luck.
This is reflected in the the sheer number of papers on this desk with various people's names written down on them, with any list of ailments next to them. As you sit there, this breeze rolls through the window and it just gently lifts these two feathers that sit on a necklace around your chest. And I think that as that breeze rolls through and the feathers move, it feels as though a shadow just passes through the room. And I'm going to ask you to roll me an insight check, please, Solas.
So I've got a natural one, which is a dreadful way to start.
With that natural one, this shadow that passes into the room, it's as though something just gets uncovered just for a second. It's a large, looming shadow that you can't quite get or bring yourself to look at. You can feel its presence behind you as the light just seems to fade for a second. And the shadow passes onto the paper. And you see a little drawing on the paper that Juno has done. There is a outline of you, Solas, and Astrid, Juno and Ren, and you watch as this shadow passes across that image. Something seems to almost appear stood right behind you, a looming figure. And as quickly as it is there, it is gone. Immediately bringing you out of that moment, you do hear the arrival of chaos downstairs as multiple footsteps rush in downstairs, and you hear Astrid from below just call up to you.
Solas, we're back. I'm sorry we're early. The girls, they were bored, and you know what they get like.
Get them fed. I'll be straight down.
Oh, also, I was... well, you might want to come down for this. It's a... You're not going to believe it. But take your time. No rush.
I put my paperwork away. I tried to shake off the thought of what's just happened, because this has been happening more and more recently. There was a time when this would happen a lot, but in the last few years, it's happened less. But in the last few months, by which I mean 2 or 3 months, it's been happening more and more often. And as much as I try and look the other way and pretend it's not happening, have to accept that there's a reason why this is happening. But today I do what I do best, and I put my paperwork away and I tuck my feathers into my shirt, I button them up, and I head downstairs to do what I do best, which is to care for my little girls.
Can you go ahead and roll me a deception check, please, as you make your way downstairs and you try to put on this very brave face?
It's a 9.
As you head downstairs with your flat 9, Asher takes one look at you, lingers for a second, and does something that I think she's done many, many times, especially over the last few months, which is she scoops Ren up in her arms and she goes, "Right, now you have to tell your father what you just got up to." And she immediately distracts Solas, sensing that there is something wrong, but finding a way to bring him back and anchor him in this moment. And there is a tender moment as Ren describes to you throwing and then mashing berries into a young boy's hair, much to the displeasure of the young boy's father. Astrid then looks at you, and you see her countenance changes a little bit, and she's almost holding back a laugh. You've been called. I don't really know how to say this. Steward Avis would like you to attend her as soon as possible, but her rumor about town is that she's going to insist that you take part in the reckoning.
We look at each other, and we both know what this means.
I know this is not something that you wished for, Solas. And you see, she puts Ren down and sort of encourages them to go off and play. It would be unwise to cross the steward at the moment. You might just have to play along. I mean, I doubt you're going to get selected. That would be...
We'll talk about this when the girls are down.
Understood. Yes. And you see that Astrid has a shock of wiry red hair. She is human, and she wears about her a real collection of different fabrics and furs and trinkets and items that she's collected that she then hangs off herself, as she is known about town as a rune witch. So someone who basically gives and offers blessings to your family rune stones. Magic is not very present in this world, and so a lot of people think that what she does is nothing but kind of, you know, hearsay and folly. But there are definitely families that have fallen on hard times and believe themselves to bear some long historied curse, and so she is the one that they turn to for some solace. She immediately kind of pats herself down and finds a sort of really sort of ratty looking squirrel tail and just sort of hands it to you and goes, "This will bring you some luck."
We laugh and I say, "I may not need luck." And I try and dismiss the moment.
She rolls a sleight of hand check to attach the little squirrel. As you wheel away, she just loops it around your belt, and you now have a little squirrel tail attached to you. And the day continues, much like this, until eventually you manage to get the girls to settle down into their cots. And just before Ren goes to sleep, she looks up to you and says,
"You know, I've never seen one of those monsters. But I was saying to Juno today, I would quite like to, I think."
"There are no monsters. You know it's all make-believe, sweetheart."
"Well, yeah, but Toby, who I didn't, like, he was asking for it, actually, because he said that you smelled. He said that, and that wasn't very nice. That's why I put the berries in his hair. But he said that the monsters are real and that his uncle was eaten by one."
And I stroke her hair and I say, "Ren, you have the most incredible imagination, my love. But it's time to spend some time in dreamland where the monsters exist. And when you wake up, there will be no monsters because there are no monsters. Now quiet your mind and get some sleep."
"But if there was monsters..."
"Close your eyes, my love."
"Yeah, sorry."
At this point, as you go to close the door, Juno pipes up. And I think you can hear Juno whisper,
"Monsters are 100% real. I actually saw one once."
"Juno!"
"Sorry!"
You shut the door, and you know that conversation will almost certainly continue for the next hour, and there's not much that you can do to stop it, unfortunately. And as you turn around, Astrid gives you a look and says,
"So, Steward Solus. It's got a good ring to it. Alliteration's always nice.
Astrid, you have a more vivid imagination than those two in there.
Obviously I do. Where do you think they get all those strange ideas from?
But seriously.
Imagine the good you could do, Solus. You understand this place better than most. And its monsters. I also don't know why you insist on lying to them. They're going to see a bloody monster one time or another.
They're 5 years old, Astrid. There's plenty of time to learn.
Well, I think they should start learning immediately. You did. And she kind of looks out and... Sorry, that wasn't... I apologize. I just think you should give it some consideration. If the steward wants you to be in the mix, that's not something to be scoffed at, Solus. That means something. There are a lot of people in this godforsaken town that would do anything for a little bit of direction and purpose in their life.
I take her hand and I say, Astrid, I found my place. This is my place, here with you and the girls. That's enough for me.
You can try to hide it from me as much as you like, but you know full well there is more to this, more to your story, more to mine, and certainly more to your girl's story than just a rinky-dink little hovel in the middle of a slum.
This story is enough for me.
And that may be the case, but often stories have a way of finding their protagonists, their villains, whether we like to or not. And sometimes you have to make sure that you are a part of the story and that the story does not happen to you. At some point, you're going to have to trust yourself, Solus, and take control.
I am in control. I'm in control of the things that matter to me. And there are three things that matter to me. And all three of those things are under that roof.
Those three you may have control over, yes.
You see that she takes she has like a little knotted branch of wood which she uses as a bit of a walking stick. And she places it, almost like pokes it towards you and says,
you cannot possibly think to have control over everything in your life when this, and sort of gestures towards you and your chest, still has so much sway.
I bat the stick away. Don't.
Understood. I shall set about and make sure we have everything prepared for tomorrow. And of course, we'll keep an eye on the girls because you must go and talk to Steward Avis. You can run from the reckoning if you wish to, but you certainly cannot ignore the steward when they summon you.
I don't intend to ignore her. I will, of course, speak to her. But I make no promise, neither to you, nor to myself, nor to her.
I think Astrid, knowing that she crossed a line, refusing to be sort of cowed because I think she believes in what she said, she doesn't push it, but she does step towards you and just embraces you in a hug.
And I accept the hug. And we hold each other.
She hands you a little bundle. You know it's got some food in it. She's made you a little packed lunch. As Solus the healer exits the house and makes his way towards the steward's rest, where you will find Steward Avis. We will fly from this place across the land and maybe back in time a day or so. We glide with the crows to a place that, if it could be more grey than Greyfew, it might just be the rather rough and ragged-looking Blackrest. Blackrest is a town that was once built and thought to hold a lot of hope for the Isle of Vale, for it would be a place that would build great things, would provide a way of getting off of this isle, but as we look to the south of Blackrest, we see only choppy and violent shores. Too violent for any such ship. Only one has ever left. And we look down on Blackrest, we see there are people, just like Greyview, going about their day. Though there are definitely some more conspiratorial whispers amongst some of the conversations And we see, with the weight of the world seemingly on his shoulders, a man just entering a homestead. Luke, would you please like to introduce Killian of Blackrest?
As you say, Killian's just arrived back home after spending a few moments alone down by the docks. It's been a very heavy day for him and his family. Probably the heaviest day of his life, which is saying something. And as he enters the building, he makes his way up some stairs. It's a very modest house. It's very dark. He goes into a small room and he just stands at the doorway and he looks across the room and he walks over towards a bed and he just crumples, completely broken, completely lost, absolutely no idea how to deal with what has happened.
This house feels still, quiet. There is a layer of dust that has gathered on many of the things. It's been quite a few days since you have been here. Killian, you sit as, without meaning to, the events of the last few days just start playing back in your head like some sort of old movie. Seeing images and flashes of creatures, monsters, claws. Hearing the sound of your brother calling out for you. I think there is this thing that you have been going over and over in your head over the last few days, constantly trying to understand better if there was something more that you could have done. And I think that you realize in this moment that whilst there is always more prep that can be made for a hunt, you did do everything right. You followed all of the steps. And I think there is a moment where you remember just how excited your brother was to join you. Fully understanding the risks, fully understanding just how dangerous it could be. And whilst it does not bring you any comfort, I think just that little flicker of a smile on the face of your brother does at least begin to help. And this moment is immediately shattered by a loud and thunderous knocking at the door.
I shake off the moment, stand up, head downstairs, and open the door.
You are confronted by a bugbear. This is a rather large humanoid with big, broad shoulders, fur kind of covering most of their face and a bit more of a protruded kind of snout. And you would know this is Gareth, the Bone Singer. Gareth the Bone Singer is something of a local shaman who reads fortunes by taking the bones of dead pets and things like that and toss them on the ground and give you tell you what they all mean. And Gareth will look at you and,
"Oh, you look terrible, friend."
"Well, it's not been an easy day."
"Oh, sorry to hear that. Could I offer you a reading? Perhaps I could bring you some comfort."
"Yeah, why the hell not? Go on."
"Oh." You see, he looks genuinely surprised as not many people actually say yes.
"Oh, okay."
And he takes out a little kind of, he has a bag and it sort of jangles as he brings out a collection of small bones. For Killian, as he thinks about magic or spirits and things like that, do you think that manifests in a slightly more studied or learned way or a bit more soulful? What do you think his connection to that kind of world, the sort of spiritual world, feels for him?
Everything comes down to his life's purpose, and everything he does is considered. Everything is chalked up and written down and calculated. He's not whimsical. He's very matter of fact, because in this world that he inhabits, there's a lot of uncertainty, so he clings to things that make sense. And so if there is a spiritual nature to all of this, which he knows there is, it's coming from a place of intellect and rationale.
In which case, can you make me an Arcana roll?
10.
Plus 3.
With a 13, these bones are cast down the floor as they clack across the sort of dusty stone entryway to your home. Gareth looks down at them and cocks his head slightly.
You're suffering like that. Sorry, I would have been a bit more sensitive if I'd known. It does say here, though, that something is approaching. It's large, and I don't know whether it's a good thing or not. And there's someone else who you may not... Ooh, I think you might love them, maybe. Or hate them. That bit's not clear, actually, I'll be honest with you. Not clear. But there's a sense of purpose about these bones. Roll me an insight check.
14 plus 1.
With a 14 plus 1, you realise that Gareth is full of shit. Gareth clearly knows something. Clearly knows a few things, in fact, that have happened. Maybe through stories that he's been told or people that have given him information. And he... As he looks up at you, goes, "Well, that does remind me, actually. I was sent. Steward Avis is requesting your presence at Graveview. I know you've just returned, so that's probably not the best news for you to hear. Sorry."
"I'm being called by Avis now.
I know that you probably were planning to leave for the Reckoning in a few days, but yeah, but she wants you there as soon as you can."
I can't leave now."
Okay. It's just when the steward calls, you know, normally... Anyway, it's not me to dabble in. I understand.
Just laid my brother in the mountain. And she wants to see me now."
"She does, yeah."
"Fine. With this, he excuses Gareth."
The door swings shut and Gareth's like, "Well, that's bloody rude, didn't it?" Hey. Yeah, you definitely get the sense that basically Gareth had, like, heard around town that your brother had passed, and then he's done this grift before, where, like, he goes around sort of having information that he probably shouldn't have and pretends to read them in bones.
So I go back in to the house, and I shout up to my mother. "Doris? Mum?
Did you just call me Doris?"
You hear from down from upstairs. "Actually, what is your... let's find out your armor class here. 13. Of course, she rolls a 19 as a slipper just down the stairs and crashes into your face.
"Bloody hell.
Never call me Doris again."
"Sorry, Mother. Look, apparently Avis wants to see me immediately. For some reason, it can't wait."
She flies down the stairs and scoops you in a hug.
This is great. This is amazing."
Yes, it's amazing, yes.
"You're going to go... to Graveview,
we don't,
and you're going to take part in the Reckoning, and you'll be the steward, and then we'll finally get to move in it to a nicer house."
We don't know that. Just calm down.
"But we always knew it, didn't we?"
"Yes, of course we did."
"You're going to do it, aren't you?"
"I don't know that that's what she wants today. I don't know why she's tearing me away from the family today of all days, but we don't know that that's what it is, right? So let me just go see her, talk to her, figure it out."
"Well, I was planning on coming up to Graveview in a few days for the Reckoning, so just stay there and me and the family will join you for the big day."
"I don't want you getting your hopes up."
"Oh, they're already so high. You couldn't bring them down even if you tried."
"All right, Mother."
"Steward Killian, are you going to keep your name or are you going to pick one of those fancy Dan names?"
"I will be keeping my name, Mother."
"I just think, you know, you could go for like a Steward Maximus. We haven't had a Steward Maximus in a while. I think you'd suit it."
"Mother, you are insufferable sometimes." "Seriously.
Right. What's new?"
"Look, can you just look after everyone while I'm gone?"
"What have I been doing all my bloody life? How dare you?"
"All right. I'll be back as soon as I can."
"Well, no, stay there and we'll meet you there. Listen to your mother. What's wrong with your ears?"
"All right, I'll see you there."
She plants a huge kiss on your cheek. She's having to, like, almost jump, I think, to reach you. As this tiny human woman sort of totters back. "Just consider it, Steward Maximus."
She manages to plant a smile on my face on arguably the worst day of my life.
It's all that. Roll me an insight check, please, on your mother.
Five.
Five. I think even for Killian, your mother has never wavered and doesn't show emotions well. Mm. And I think that it's probably maybe even a little bit of a marvel for you just how quickly she's able to separate herself from everything that's going on in the world. And as you turn out, well, I guess probably go and gather some things. It'll be a few days up to Greyview. But as you head out into these cobbled streets, and it's relatively busy, you do see a half-orc, a big, burly half-orc. And you know this is Rhys Blackhand, and he is one of the captains of the town guard. He has also been kind of positioning himself as a potential future steward. Broad shoulders, small tusks sticking out of his bottom lip. You do know that Rhys Blackhand, however, is a member of the Veiled Hand. And he gives you a knowing nod and says, I'm heading up to Greyview in a few days. I was wondering if we might travel together. Just the roads have been a little tricky, and it's always nice to have someone watching your back.
Yeah, that sounds doable, but I, you do know my purpose of going?
Yes, for the Reckoning.
Yeah.
I'm also going to the Reckoning, but whomever the magic should choose.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But look, I love what you stand for, and I'm all for it. I think it's, you've got a lot of good ideas, and I stand with you, but...
And you would stand with us if we were chosen? If you were chosen,
no,
right?
No. You see, this is the problem. We do disagree on a few things here, all right? I will be doing things my own way.
At least listen to us. We haven't had an audience in front of a steward for generations. Can you at least give us that?
Yeah, I can do that.
And are you going to be just as stubborn, or are you willing to have a travel companion?
Yeah.
Great. When do you leave?
Today.
Today? Why do you leave today?
Because I've been called upon.
By the steward?
Yes.
Fuck. You've been called by the steward?
Yes.
Well, that only means one thing, doesn't it? Are you... Killian of Blackrest is going to be the front runner for the stewardship.
Look, you know how hard I've trained for this.
I do. I just think also maybe Avis has lost her fucking mind.
Well, that's kind.
Listen, Killian. I mean, you're an incredibly skilled hunter, yes, but you have no courtroom etiquette at all. The last time you were there, you called half of them idiots.
That's what they need.
I know they're idiots, but sometimes you have to gloss it a little bit, you know? Put some honey on there.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. We don't share the same sentiment here. I will not be doing things in a kind of pussyfooting way. I will be doing things my way.
Saying that I would either if I was the steward, but I'm saying until I get to steward, which I still might.
You can't force your way into the stewardship. You have to dedicate your entire life to it. You have to give every ounce of your soul, every part of you. Look at me. Can you honestly say you've done that?
Well, perhaps if we ever come to blows, I could prove it to you. Because I know that I could beat you in a one-on-one fight, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. I needed that today, thank you.
I'll lay you flat on your ass. Right, fine. Setting off today. And I suppose you're going to ask to borrow one of my horses, aren't you?
If you don't mind.
Yeah. You're cheeky, Killian. Listen. I know we joke, but you would be a very good steward. It just feels wrong to say out loud. Like, I just feel like the second the words leave my mouth, I regret saying them.
Yes, I know. But I've put in the work. It's my lineage. It's my calling. It's my family. It's everything.
I know you may have your misgivings about the Veiled Hand, but understand there are those among us who care about you. And we don't want to see the same thing happen to you as happened to you.
Look, we don't need to talk about that right now, do we?
He had a lot of the right ideas. I'm just saying
what I will say is that I would definitely keep you close by and your counsel over the counsel that they have any day of the week.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay, good. Right.
Great.
So can we stop talking about it?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, perfect.
Okay, great, fine. so... Gareth's been sneaking around again. Has he been bothering you?
Can you just tell him to shut up singing? Because it's doing my head.
It's really quite annoying, yes. As this orc and human turn and head up the street, you notice that people begin to hear the rumour that you are making your way up to Greyview, and you see many a face in the window. In the windows of the houses, maybe even opening the door, a small child runs up to you and offers you a little stitched trinket. It seems to be like a little, almost like a figurine type of like a little knitted ball of like yarn, and hands it to you as like a little good luck token. As you realize the people of Blackcrest see you as a champion. They see you as someone who cares for them, and were you to win the stewardship, you would almost certainly be someone that would fight for them. And so, whilst it may be a sort of muted one, there is something of a celebration as you are heading off to Greyview. Many people wait at the edge of town to see you off, and you are given what little bits of food, except for the journey. Some incredibly tough and stodgy Maya root. And you make your way up to Greyview. We shall skip back to the present, and as the sun is now firmly set and we are in the eve, Solas, you wander up past those big stone gates and now into Greyview Crossing. You go past the toll bridge, which is sort of like a checkpoint that people have to cross through if they want to bring goods in and out, and where you go and sign off sort of any official visitations into the forest, etc., so that they know if you don't return where you might be. And you find yourself at the Steward's Rest, this large stone tower, very unassuming and covered in vines, a single door on the outside. This is the dwelling of the steward. There is a greeting room straight on the other side of that door, and that is the only room that anyone who is not the steward is permitted to enter. But you know that you are to enter and essentially wait there, and the steward will give you an audience. The door does finally swing open, after probably a little bit more waiting than you would like, Solas. However, you are not met with Steward Avis, but Killian of Blackrest walks through the door.
Solas?
Killian?
What are you doing here?
I imagine the same thing as you.
By God. I mean, I can't say I'm surprised.
Neither can I.
I just, I don't think I thanked you properly for the last time I saw you.
You don't need to thank me.
No, I do. I do. It was,
It was what it was.
Yeah, but it was not good. And you were amazing.
Maybe this is not the place.
Look, I'll keep it short, but I just want you to know that, like, if you ever need anything, I'm there. Okay?
I appreciate that.
I think, Killian, your mind immediately goes down, sort of almost like travels down your body to your side, where you still bear this huge scar across your abdomen, which Solas patched up for you in the middle of one gloomy night after a hunt had gone more than a little bit awry. Mm-hmm. An unofficial hunt, I should say. As you sit and wait, eventually you hear the sound of boots on the stairs. As coming down these big stone steps, you see Steward Avis. She is a rather unremarkable looking elf. She has long brown hair. She looks as though she has not slept particularly well. She wears simple, sort of green-hued clothes, is much less auspicious than some other stewards that have come before her, and these large, thick boots. She steps into the room and... Ah, good. You're both here. Have you met before?
We have.
We have, yeah.
Intimately acquainted? Friends? Or...
Acquaintances.
Right, you're probably wondering why I called you here. I obviously know that you, Killian, have made no secret of wanting to take part in the Reckoning.
Can I just stop you right there?
You can if you wish.
Why today of all days?
I have something that I need you to do. I wouldn't have called upon you, Killian, unless I absolutely had to. Okay. I am sorry.
Okay, let's hear it.
We have a situation, one that I would trust you both with. Councillor Maeve. You know Councillor Maeve to be representative of Keelymaia. Very, very prominent, probably one of the three most powerful people in Greyview and on the council. Councillor Maeve has passed. And it was her request to be buried. Now, normally this would go through our standard funerary practices. However, we are but a few days out of the Reckoning, and to lose a council member would also mean to start a formal election process. It is would also throw up a lot of question marks at a trying time, for in a few days I will not be here. So you would both know that the way the stewardship works, and I think actually as to sort of eloquently mark this point, you notice that she places another cup down on the table, and as she gracefully waves a hand, you see the tea is brewing over the fire, leaves, as if by some invisible force, out of that pot and fills her mug. As you know that, actually, much like your grandfather, Steward Avis is an elemental steward. She, when the magic chose her to become the steward, she gained control over the elements, including water. But you also know that when a steward is selected, they must drink from the water of Loch Imeril. For everyone else, it is just like drinking normal drinking water. But when a steward drinks it, for some reason or another, they get a vision or a premonition of their own death. They do not know exactly when, but they will feel it as it approaches, and it then becomes the steward's job to prepare for that transition, for a new steward to be selected. For the second the old steward passes, a new one is chosen. Not by the people, not by the old steward, but by the magic. And this reckoning festival, this joyous time, about as joyous as it probably gets in this rather dour and grey, rainy land, is a time where the people get to see those that would like to be considered. And they watch as the would-be stewards are tested in light-hearted but still impressive feats of strength or diplomacy or whatever it may be, challenges outset by the steward as a way of showing the people that they will be in safe hands with one of these individuals. And so you do know that in a few days the steward will die. You do not know how or why this information she cannot share, but she knows that her end is coming. Greyview is strained currently, and I fear losing two prominent leaders. I know your mileage on Councillor Maeve may vary, but losing two of us might be too much. And so I would like to keep this at least quiet for now, until after the reckoning and a new steward arrives. Then all the proper processes should be taken. That does, however, leave us in a rather awkward position of not having a way of her being received to the mountains. And Killian, you have most recently made that journey, and Councillor Maeve, and she turns to you, Solas, and says, she was incredibly fond of you. She specifically asked that you speak at her burial. So, whilst I wish it was under better circumstances, I ask that you would take her body. Obviously, we cannot leave it any longer. Do not want to risk any unwanted transformations.
I just came back from the mountain. I just buried my brother, and now you're asking me to go back.
Killian, I know what this is to ask you, but I also say this. If you are selected by the magic, I promise you the stewardship is filled with nothing but these difficult decisions after awful times. This is your life. If you are chosen, this is what it will be. Trust me. All that whilst, by the way, you have a knowledge of exactly how you're going to die. It's not information that one should have, really. And you see that she kind of lets her guard down for a minute and kind of relaxes into this armchair and says, I think I actually feel kind of excited. I feel like I have lived 7 lives in these last few. And I am ready for my watch to be over. Solas, I wish for you to take part in the reckoning. I think this is also news to you, Killian. News of who will take part in the reckoning is kind of public news. This is like a big kind of source of gossip and rumor around town, around the whole isle, as and when they know the reckoning is happening. So the idea of someone, it's sort of similar to running for office, because whilst you are not currying favor with the magic, you cannot influence the election process, so to speak, but you can influence how easy your job will be once you do get into office. If you manage to gain respect and carry favor with people, you'll have an easier time when you become steward. Solas's name is not a name that has been sort of floated or all bandied around. I think many people have said, well, Solas should be in the reckoning, but kind of accept that he would never do that. He would never put his name forward. And unfortunately, Solas, this isn't a request. This is something that I, as your steward, demand of you. And I will tell you why, because I know that you will be your usual stubborn self. You are something that we need. I don't mean this indelicately, but there are a number of people who, in the reckoning, who are proud and incredible warriors, fighters or intellects, maybe even great thinkers. And maybe they are unbelievable, just like Anya, unbelievable at diplomacy, and they understand the way the trade should happen, or the toll bridge fares, or anything like that. But you understand people, Solas.
You put before me 2 things, neither of which I have any desire for. I have no desire to speak at Maeve's burial, and I certainly have no desire to take part in the reckoning. But I will, under the circumstances, speak at Maeve's burial, because it's something she deserves, and something I know I can do well, and something, crucially, that will not take me away from my family for too long a time. But as to the reckoning, I hear what you say. I understand there are people whose ambitions may not be as straightforward, but for my part, you know where my priorities lie, and you know I cannot accept.
Well, the problem is, Solas, when you are steward, you are slightly more in tune with the magic. And right now, as I see it, there are only 3 realistic candidates. You, Killian of Blackrest. Despite your feelings, Anya. And Solas, it is you. I can see it. The magic gathers around you.
Like Killian, my feelings on Anya are also clear, which leaves only 1 viable candidate, and that is the man sat next to me.
That may be the way that you see it, Solas, but the magic chooses. I do not choose, the people do not choose. You are in this, whether you like it or not. And what will it do to the people if a steward is selected who did not take part in the reckoning, who they do not know, who they have not seen?
The people know me. Not everybody likes me.
Certainly.
But they know me. With all due respect to Solas, what kind of a steward would he make? He does not want the responsibility.
Maybe that is what the Isle of Vale needs. Someone who does not seek power, but someone who knows how to wield it. Killian, I know that you value these traditions very strongly, and I know that you are aware of the will of the magic, as your grandfather did all too well.
The Vale needs someone who understands the forest. Understands it like the back of his hand. Has been in there countless times. And understands how we're going to get out of here. How we're going to get out of this mess. Not to just keep on with the churn of the everyday.
I ask you to listen, Killian, when I say that I see so much of your grandfather's fire in your belly, and I cannot tell you how much it scares me. It does, and I will be honest about that. And that may be what the Isle requires, and if that is the case, then you will be chosen.
My grandfather was one of the few stewards who ever did the right thing. Who ever tried to get the people what they need. Solas, can you tell me honestly, if you were to become the steward, are you going to make any changes? Are you going to give the people what they want? Are you going to make an effort to change the Vale? To take risks? You're a good man. You've been incredible to me. And I respect you. But that, it's not enough.
I've made my intentions clear.
Unfortunately, Solas, like I said, this isn't a request. I am your steward, both of you, and whether you like it or not, you must respect me. And
I do respect you.
You must listen to me. All I ask is that you take part in the Reckoning, Solas. It does not mean anything. It merely means you take part in a few silly little trials, and it gives the people a chance to see you. That's all it is. It gives them a chance to see someone that might lead them. And Killian, I think you're right. I think I have played it too safe. I see that. The closer that I've gotten to the end and the more I reflect on my legacy, the more I feel shame. I took the heed of the council too often. I respected them. These were the people that raised me, taught me everything I knew. But I should have stood more independently, and I am taking a risk and inviting Solas to join the Reckoning.
Every year, things get worse. The crops have less taste. The weather worsens. People become more sick. We are running out of time. This is not something that we can dilly-dally around. And Solas, as much as I respect the man, is not the man for this task. You
Killian
must...
of Blackrest, this is your last warning. You may think yourself a competent fighter, but I will remind you of my strength. And you will show yourself out of here and out of the Reckoning if you continue to answer back to me. My decision is final. Solas will be taking part. And you will travel together to the mountain. I understand this is difficult for you. But I think this is something that you need, Killian. This is the final piece for you. I think if you can truly understand this, show that you can understand the machinations of leadership, then I have every faith that you will be more than ready to be the steward. But right now, you are rash, you jump to conclusions, and you struggle to see what might be hiding right in front of you. You're lucky I'm not sending Anya with you, though I was worried that if I did, it might end in a bloodbath.
God's sake.
The three of you bicker like children.
She's the worst of the lot.
Yes, and she, if she is not steward, will almost certainly take Maeve's place on the council. And you will have to play nice, Killian.
That's never going
to
happen.
I am just so upset that I'm not going to be alive to witness you, steward Killian, up in front of the council, having to bite your tongue as they tell you where the money should be spent. It is going to be delicious. And Solas, please. Please, know this. Your focus is on your family. But if you are selected, think about what you can do. Not just your twins, but every child on this island. No one understands people. No one understands the ailments that befall us better than you. Imagine the good that you could do if you were selected. Imagine what a fine Chief of the Guard Killian of Blackrest would make, and imagine just how much it would frustrate him. Because he would have to listen to you, and it is quite enjoyable when people have to listen to you, yes.
You know I have no choice in this. It's not a request. It's not a demand, as you say. It's a statement of fact. And to you, Killian, to your question of whether I would create change, of course I would. I have the power and the strength to do those things if necessary. What I do not have is a desire. But what I also do not have is the choice. And so what will be, will be. But do not underestimate the change that I might effect, the change that I might implement, were I given the power. But I will say for one last time, I do not desire and I do not request that power. All I request is my privacy and my time with my family.
And I truly hope, for your sake, that you are afforded those things, Silas. But I hope, for the sake of the island, you are not. So, I have made arrangements for you to leave the cover of night, for two would-be stewards leaving with a coffin in tow is probably not the most inauspicious thing, so try to keep it quiet. Keep the ceremony brief, make your way back for the reckoning, and Killian, try to smile. It will make a difference if people see that even Killian of Blackrest is able to be joyful. I understand that death is difficult, but don't think of it as an end, think of it as a transition. And I say that to both of you, because if there's one thing that I know, as a steward, you will see a lot of death.
No one sacrificed more for this stewardship than my family. We've given lives. We've given our entire lives. I will respect the magic.
Thank you. And if the stewardship was measured in blood and tears, Killian, you might be right. But it is not.
What is it measured in? If it's not dedication.
There you are again. You're trying to understand. You're trying to calculate. It cannot be. It is faith. It is understanding.
I have faith.
Then you will be selected. If you truly believe it. But this is one of those things that you will have to come to terms with. That some things are not black and white. They're not simple choices. Otherwise, Solas would be at home with a good book, and you would already have been made steward. And Anya would be somewhere, probably sticking needles into a little effigy of you, Killian. I will be here to support you both over these next few days. And hopefully, there are no more attacks.
I want to understand that the island is going to be undefended. That I will be in the mountains. You will be gone in the coming days.
No, you shall be back here for the reckoning. It won't take you that long. I will be here, and we will double the positioning of the guard on the outer walls. I do fear that something is coming. The way that I can sense those that I think the magic might favor, and I could be wrong, by the way. Might be someone else.
I have noticed the forest become more aggressive.
You have?
There's an energy, there's a feeling, there's just something.
As one of the hunters reported that they'd seen a few of the beasts working together to hunt them.
That's never happened before.
Yes. It is a troubling sign. So here, before you leave, and I ask the same of Anya, don't worry. I don't want you to feel too special. What would you do in this moment, Killian? If you were me, before the reckoning, you talk of change.
The answer's in the forest. We must organize. We must fight. We must map. We must excavate. The key to everything is in that forest. Now, my feeling is not shared with the Veiled Hand, in the sense that I don't think you can buy your way in to the stewardship, but they have some good ideas, and I think we should hear them out. I think we should bring a couple of them onto the council.
Veiled Hand on the council, please.
The snobbery. See, this is what I'm talking about. The snobbery. Fine. In the council.
Fine. Whom? Don't say Rhys. That's never happening.
No, not Rhys. Rhys is mad with power and...
What about his brother?
Complete narcissist.
Caelan.
Yes, Caelan, it would be a fitting member of the council.
Fine. I shall send a missive right now that an extra council seat shall be had and held over the next few days, and it shall be Caelan's. But Caelan must prove himself to the council.
I'll keep an eye on him.
Then we shall have a black hand on the council. I never thought I'd see the day. But here we are. I'm here, taking a risk, see? Solas.
Took your time.
Watch it. You see that she flexes her hand, and as she does, you feel some of the tea as it kind of goes, like as it's sort of like trickling down, you feel it just come back up a little bit. Solas, what of you? What of the slums? What more can I do in these last few days?
We need men. We need numbers. But in all this, we need calmness. And we need poise. And that is something you have provided. And I extend my sympathies to you, my gratitude for what you have done.
Thank you. I never thought I might get even one compliment between the two of you, so I will absolutely take that. Yes. Peter, the apothecary, he has a very gentle way about him. I will send him and a few to the area, and they will lend what hands they can. Thank you both. I know we've not always seen eye to eye, but I believe that you respect the magic, and I think that you respect what this stewardship means. It is a symbol of hope. You would be the only person to wield magic on this entire island. It does also mean, Caelan, that you have to keep your temper in check, because there will be people that piss you off, and you will have the power to do anything. So you must respect that. There's a reason that we decided many moons ago to banish people. Having stewards slay people in the street wasn't really the right vibe, I think. Plus, you get a nice home.
I have a home.
Same.
Which you will have to occupy. The girls would love it here.
One of the girls would love it here.
I've been embraced by Blackrock. My family has been embraced by Blackrock. This place does no longer have any warmth towards my family.
You know what? I take back what I said earlier, Solas. I am glad that I will be dead and burnt at some pyre so I do not see Caelan of Blackrest decide to make the new home of the stewards down at World's End. You have to hold Graveview Crossing. The steward cannot sit at the World's End whilst Graveview falls and we lose access to the forest. Caelan, please... screw your head on for this next part.
Well, as you said, let us all hope that some other candidate presents themselves and the magic select them.
As you say this, there is a knock at the door. Ah, you two probably want to make yourself scarce, I assume. Come in, Anya. And you see striding in with long white dreadlocks, dark-skinned elf strides into the room. She wears leather braces and clutches a few tomes and looks towards the two of you. Solas, Caelan, I thought it was just me meeting you, steward. No, it's not. But I'm glad that we all have a chance to be in the same room, because I will not be here that much longer. And whether you're selected or not, all three of you will remain prominent members of the society. And it may even require you to break bread. Just think. And I mean this. If the three of you were ever able to agree on something, you might just represent the opinions of half of this, if not the whole, of this bloody godforsaken island. That could be a powerful thing. You are excused. You shall find everything you need on the edge of town. Old Man Hemlock has the horses. And as the two of you pass by Anya, there is a moment by the door as you all glance at each other. And I would like both of you to roll me an insight check, please.
I've got a natural 16, plus 5.
With a 21, Solas, there is
I think at least something that you see in Anya, you've already seen this in Killian, I think, before, that she is laser focused on, and that is the people. You don't need a 21 to know that she despises both of you, but she cares deeply for the people. And I think that you can see, maybe for the first time, stress and worry on her face as this thing now approaches. Perhaps for all three of you, there is a moment of realizing that in a few days, your entire life, whether you like it or not, will be that much different.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Oaths and Empires. Oaths and Empires is a 12 Sided Studios production, and I have been your Dungeon Master, Jasper William Cartwright. Solas was played by Tom McKay, and Killian was played by Luke Dale. This episode was edited and sound designed by Oliver Moore, with original music from Cy Rutherford. Our art director on Oaths and Empires is Kyle Crompton, and other artwork by Alice Torkar and Tank Monsternova. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate and review us on whatever podcasting app you're using. You can also follow us on all social media platforms at Oaths and Empires. And stick around as I thank our angels over on the Patreon, without whom the show simply wouldn't be here. So, thank you so much to the following angels. Aeon Coney, Tove L. Gilliath, Spike Lee, Erin, Elizabeth, Noah Alice, Sarah, Quest Disaster, Nell P, in brackets, mostly 10, 1 Glambring, Havin underscore hoops, Saf Z, asterisk, Beau Dracon Manavrier, Dice underscore cult, Melanie Gehrman, Sneaky Gina, Carlos Samak Hernandez, Tazadactyl, Polar Pandy, Fadburger, Vera Patrina, Lisa Waite, Heinkappy, Fanny, Fakvaral, Alexis, Himboology, Fountain 1403, Ian Hamlet, Camille A, Wintergarten, Serena of Scallops, Shark Spren, Striped Sentry, Dog of the Lord of Ratty, Lena Beans, Cine Crab, Jesse Keita, Koo and C, Josh Dominic, Lissy Nilsson, Booleen, DT, Eos, Eric, Sarah Phillips, Christian Ream, Celeste Nicole, The Druid Narix, Imperator.exe, Dylan Henderson, Matt Summermaid, Clavier, Vampire underscore Unicorn, Zari Lambert, Fran Pernard, Chris B, Protato, and Wild Lupine. Thank you so much to all you incredible angels. Your support means the world, and it's going a long way to helping us keep this show going, and making sure that everyone involved is fairly compensated for their incredible work. So, thank you so much. Please continue to support the show if you can, and, crucially, if I have mispronounced your name at any point, let me know, and I will make sure to re-record it. Thank you very much.